Hello there and welcome to episode 2 of Have Husband, Will Travel and Talk. I'm Anthony Lobagelis.
I'm David Lobagelis.
And he's got his mouth
full of cake. Sorry, I chose the wrong moment to start eating Colin.
Yeah, we're having Colin the caterpillar cake.
For dinner.
Yeah, for dinner. We've picked, sometimes we like to have cake for dinner. We've picked a side in the caterpillar cake.
No, we haven't.
Well, we haven't actually, because I do feel it's bad that what Marks and Spencer's are doing, but we're just at Marks and Spencer's and then there's some...
For those people listening to this who don't know what hell we're going on about.
Okay, yeah, so there's... I don't know if it's anywhere else in the world, but in the UK there's a trend of supermarkets having cakes that are...
M&S and Aldi do exist in other countries.
Yeah, but I don't know if they had stock the same range.
Oh, yeah, probably, yeah.
But there's a trend of cakes being shaped in the shape of caterpillars with, like, faces. It's basically a Swiss roll cake that is shaped to look like a caterpillar and then decorated. But the controversy... Every supermarket has a caterpillar cake, but the controversy has happened because Aldi and Lidl... Aldi and Marks and Spencer's.
It is Aldi, yeah.
Yeah, Aldi and Marks and Spencer's. Aldi made a version of a caterpillar cake that was actually, like, it had the same face and markings.
Same alliteration, wasn't it? Wasn't it a C? Cuthbert or something?
Cuthbert, yeah. So, Marks and Spencer's have, like, were threatening legal action, but it's just done gangbusters, I think, for probably both of their sales. Hence, when I went to Marks and Spencer's the other day and saw a caterpillar cake, I just needed to have caterpillar cake.
And I'm glad you did, because both of us are a bit kind of not being bothered to cook dinner tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're having cake for dinner.
Yeah. So if you've not been here before, Have Husband, Will Travel and Talk is the audio version of our podcast, havehusbandwilltravel.com.
Audio version of our website.
Of our website, yeah, that's right. and we are... we're just husbands who'd like to travel when we're allowed to, and we just like to talk about our travels on this podcast. Thank you for everyone who's been involved. We've had lots of nice reviews on Apple Podcasts, so thank you for everyone who's given us a review. And we're just trying to stick to a weekly schedule, but I had a lot on this weekend, so this is coming in a day late. But today we're going to be talking about a few different things, and the first thing we're going to talk about is so far we've been quite positive, and we want to be a very positive podcast, but we also want to talk to you and give some tips and hints about what you do when things aren't going the way that you think they're going to. And to do that, we need to talk about a particular trip, which we'll do during the next segment, Cocktail Time. So those of you who have listened before will know that guest stars in the podcast are often our cats.
They're on form tonight.
Yeah, they're being very clingy tonight, so expect them to be
all three are surrounding us,
hissing, and like as if they're having fights, because that might happen today.
Yeah.
But anyway, we are off today with our cocktail sort of...
Where are we off to?
We're off to Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean by kind of... like having mixed feelings about it somewhere.
Yeah. So before I... just thinking about Los Angeles, the cocktail that I'm doing today is a cocktail we've not had before ourselves, so we're going to try it. It is called a Jean Harlow. And partly I've chose this one because Jean Harlow was obviously one of the first big sort of blockbuster film stars.
Yeah.
And for me, when we were booking... booking Los Angeles and staying in Hollywood, we actually stayed in a hotel that was on Hollywood and Vine. For me, I was thinking about, oh, my Hollywood, and yesterday was the Oscars, so
glitz,
it's all
glam.
Glitz glam, and then it just... And we were really excited because before we went, if you remember, because it was one of the legs of our honeymoon, before we went, we watched Mark Cousins' Story of Film.
Oh, I love that documentary.
And even he talks about it as being something that never was. Something that was always there but never was.
True.
And I think that's a really interesting way to sum up our experience, because we went there expecting this glamour, and the hotel, the Red Bull, which doesn't exist anymore. They don't deserve to, if I'm honest.
No.
There's a write-up on our website if you want to see our opinions, but it was an awful experience. But it was very It was style over substance, that hotel was. Very glamorous in its looks. Every floor was themed to, like, starlets.
It wasn't exactly a cheap hotel, was it?
No, it wasn't a cheap hotel either, because we were on our honeymoon, so we were splurging. But it became the crux of why we were not having a fantastic time
in LA.
But anyway, before and David, you can perhaps talk about that when I'm going to just make the cocktail. So we're at the Jean Harlow, is a cocktail we've never had. All you need is coupe glasses, and you just need two ingredients, and you need just ice and a cocktail shaker. So you need white rum. All the recipes I've seen suggest using generic Bacardi rum, but I couldn't get that from Marks and Spencer's when I was getting my Caterpillar cake. So I went with Havana Club, which is a fantastic white rum. I'm not 100% sure if it's changed since the regulations have changed, but I think our listeners in America still can't get Havana rum.
Really?
Because of the import.
Yeah,
so that might have changed, but like a couple of years ago, you still couldn't get Havana rum in the UK.
Any white rum is what people want.
And then you just need a sweet vermouth. Martini Rosso will do, and we're using
the original Antica formula.
Yeah, and you just need 45 mils of both in a cocktail shaker over ice.
So one measure, although we have double measures, one measure of white rum,
and then one measure.
I'm intrigued. I've never had this drink,
and I've really chose it because, like, we don't really do enough. I don't think you and I do enough cocktails with rum.
No, you're right. We do tend to stick with gin
and we normally, if we do it with it, we normally use dark rum, not white rum. So we do dark and stormies and stuff like that. And then it's optional in some of the cocktail recipes, but they do suggest a few drops of orange or aromatic bitters to...
That bottle top's really stiff. Do you want me to get it?
Please.
There you go. That's the aromatic bitters.
Yeah, so just a few droplets of those.
That was more than a few droplets.
But that's for two of us, isn't it? and then
is it a shaking cocktail?
A shaking cocktail. Okay. So, like, I'll move away from the mic. But...
Yeah.
And it should be a lovely sort of brown colour. And the reason it's called a Jean Harlow is because it was the favourite cocktail of Jean Harlow herself.
Really?
Yeah. So
I don't know if I've seen any films. I'm sure I have seen some films with Jean Harlow.
And you just serve it, just strain it into a coupe cocktail glass. And there you go. There is a Jean Harlow.
Oh, wow. Let's give this a try. Oh, that's lovely.
It's really, really good, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's I don't think I would have thought of putting rum and red vermouth together.
No, it's interesting.
So, yeah, so via this Jean Harlow cocktail, we are now in Hollywood, David. And do you want to talk a little bit about why we went to Hollywood and about the... A bit of like the Cliff Notes short version of why we had particularly such a poor time.
I'm not even sure we had a poor time, to be honest. We just had to work really hard to have a good time.
Yeah. And I think it suffered from, as we've mentioned before in a few of these podcasts, coming straight from New Orleans and then the Sunset Limited train, which were both fantastic experiences. Then we get in LA and it's a bit, I think it felt like some of the cliches that you think about when you think about Hollywood, the fact that people don't really care as much in customer service roles. People are just thinking
they're waiting for their big break.
Yeah, and we love to do that. We love to create all these sort of like stories in our head about the people who were around. And like in our head, the receptionist was like a gigging sort of actress and was like doing this job on her days off before between auditions, and it wasn't.
Which is why she was such a terrible waitress.
Yeah, and yeah. It wasn't a receptionist, and that was the reason why she
receptionist,
wasn't,
yeah.
wasn't her career goal basically. And
so basically, we were kind of doing La La Land years before La La Land. That kind yeah. of I know La La Land draws on a lot of classic kind of Hollywood tropes.
So it was just in the hotel, like. Like I said, it doesn't exist anymore, but it looked the part. You got there,
yeah, yeah.
And then nonchalantly, I remember the receptionist checking us in and says, "I'm really sorry, we couldn't get you a room with a view." And then when we went up to our room, you could see the Hollywood sign from the room.
And well, actually, we ended up changing rooms.
Yeah, we had to change room because there was no sound.
There was no soundproofing, and essentially, yeah. The hotel doubled as a nightclub, which sounds really fun. Except at 3:30 in the morning when yeah. you really can't sleep because your bed is shaking because the music's that loud.
Yeah.
So we had a room change, and I'm trying to remember which way around it was because it was 6 years ago now. But the one room, we could see the Hollywood sign, and the other we could see the Capitol Records.
Tower Records.
Is it Tower Records?
I think it's Tower Records.
Iconic. Yeah. So we could see that. So two major like landmarks that you see in so many movies and things. But just to back up for a second, yeah, we were in LA because it was part of our, we essentially did three center honeymoon, four if you count the train journey.
Yeah.
And we just tried to cram in as much in the 2 week Easter holiday as much as we could. So we went from New Orleans, took the Sunset Limited train, one of the best experiences ever. I must do a podcast about that at some point. And then that took 2 days. And then we actually got into LA. Grand Central Station. Union Station. Yeah, we missed our connecting flight because the train was late.
Yeah.
But we bought another cheap internal flight.
Oh yeah, because it was the last segment, wasn't it? Because we flew back.
And so then we went to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Had really nice time there, and then our last stop was actually LA.
And if you do the comparison as well, like I mentioned,
because we flew back to LA,
this hotel being sort of. Not being able to compete. When we stopped in San Francisco, the hotel there went to
they were like ridiculous. Like,
they had looked me up on Instagram.
Yeah, it was kind of a bit creepy to arrive at a hotel and say, and there's a note from the manager who's also introduced himself at this point.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a like massively pretentious hotel or anything. It was just a really nice kind of boutique hotel. Yeah, it was an expensive hotel, yeah. But it was a honeymoon. But we get in the room and there's this note. What did the note say?
The note basically, I think I've got it somewhere. I'll post it on Instagram. But it just basically said, like, we're really happy for you to join, for you both to join us on your honeymoon. We've had a look through Anthony's Instagram and seen
as you do, really.
see that you both are fans of gin. So put some things to try in the room. And essentially, the week before we got married is my birthday, and David for my birthday had took me and some friends on a gin tasting evening, and they'd seen some of the gins we'd had on that gin tasting and put them in the room. Like I say, in comparison, like it felt like everything was too much trouble to the people at the
didn't we ask for breakfast to go one morning and they put it in a bag and basically threw it? It was in the bar.
But when we went down there for breakfast one time, they were like, "Oh yeah, we've got no eggs, so we've got no breakfast today."
It's like, "We've got no breakfast today because we've got no eggs." To which, there is literally a shop across the road. go and buy some eggs. Which is honestly, it redefined customer service for me.
The one thing that I will say, and this is the thing I wanted to get to in this point, is that we didn't let it spoil our time.
No.
And we're going to talk in a second about some really great places.
Shall I say why we went, though? It was my choice, really, I think, to go to LA. Because I know you've watched lots of films and TV series and that kind of thing.
I've been before and I didn't like it.
Oh, well, you could have warned me.
Yeah.
But I did have this image, which you've already kind of painted this picture. I did have this image of kind of old school glamour, Hollywood, whatever. And, you know, probably from watching too many movies from the 30s and 40s. And that whatever you do, don't go to LA expecting that, because there is none of that.
That
never existed.
If you want to go to that, go to a Disney theme park.
No, you're not going to get Disney into it.
Go to like Disney's Hollywood Studios, Disney California Adventure, because that Sunset Boulevard.
It recreates the myth of old Hollywood. Exist. Yeah.
what, before we get on to the good things we want to do, the one thing I just wanted to have is a bit of a travel tip thing is don't be afraid. And we're really good at this as British people, but a lot of other people don't have the confidence of doing it.
Most British people don't do this.
But just complain,
get what you're paying
for. Yeah, well, if you get what you're paying for, if you're paying for a lot and you're not getting your enjoyment, don't be afraid to ask to change rooms. Don't be afraid to say you're not happy with what's going on. And like we did that, for example, throughout the holiday. We did lots of different things around Los Angeles, one of them being we took a trip for 2 days to Disneyland, to go to Disneyland and Disney California Adventure. And we got Ubers each day. And when we were speaking to the hotel manager later on, and this is perhaps partly our fault as well for not seeing what our room and suite allowed us, but there was a chauffeur that the hotel offered to guests that would drive you places and pick you up for free of charge if it was available. But they never told us that,
no.
And we didn't know that. So we
it wasn't
went
advertised.
There.
I don't think they
But the good thing was, is because before our last day, we knew about that. They took us to Griffith Park in that chauffeur to get there, and
that
so,
was though after we. And I don't want to you know, stick on the negativity too much here, but we did complain to the hotel, and we ended up having a sit-down meeting with the manager, which we've done on a few occasions.
I think ultimately, because you'll remember, even post then, they said they'd make a big fuss of us, and they're really grateful that you're coming for our anniversary, but if your wedding, do honeymoon. But then, even then, it fell flat because, and we do a lot of this at work, don't we? Talk about culture and all this kind of stuff. But for me, the culture of that hotel.
Yeah. It was so poorly led and managed.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And so it couldn't.
If it was a school, it would be on Ofsted's lowest possible ranking.
And there's a reason why it doesn't exist anymore. But if you want to read more about that trip and all of that, there's a feature on the website about the Redbury on Hollywood and Vine. So go and read that. But like I said, with every cloud, there's a silver lining. Mm. And although Los Angeles wasn't really our vibe, we still had some great time.
Yeah,
a great time. I saw some great things. And do you want to talk about one of your favorites that you did there?
I've got to narrow it down. I suppose it would have to be the really uber geeky tour of Paramount Studios. Again, kind of shattering that Hollywood bauble impression. They don't really make movies in Hollywood anymore. Well, they do some like post-production, like special, not even much in the way of special effects.
And they film like Drag Race.
And they film a lot of TV series in the old studios, but a lot of the old studios just don't exist anymore. One of the ones that does is Paramount Studios. So it doesn't really get more iconic than Paramount Studios. And I'm so glad we chose to go to Paramount Studios rather than Universal.
Yeah, because Universal is like the theme park, really.
Which is nothing like...
There's a tram tour, but that's about it.
I mean, going around Paramount Studios, you had to use your imagination. Don't get me wrong. The tour guide, we had the VIP, like six. There were like 14 of us, 12, 14 people. So we had quite a small tour group.
We had lunch.
And we had lunch. Amazing lunch included, but we were eating lunch on the back lot of Paramount Studios, literally by the gate where, you know, which is featured in Sunset Boulevard and so many classic movies. So it felt sort of surreal and special in that way.
And we've seen some of the back lot places in the street of New York. In like if you watch the Meerkat advert, that's Paramount Studios.
Oh yeah, we see you actually do see Paramount Studios. That street backlot in a lot of commercials and things.
We got
that.
To see like props. We got to go into the archive. We got to see costumes.
I mean, as I say, you did have to use your imagination because it's not like they will reenact a scene in front of you like you might get at Disney Park or Universal.
And like
Studios.
I remember going to Hollywood Studios when it was MGM Studios back in the 80s, back in the early 90s, and sometimes they were filming stuff there. So like I remember being there when they were filming Jingle All the Way. There was always that thing where you might bump into someone. And like, although Paramount is a working lot, it's not really a working lot in the fact that they film like hundreds and hundreds of stuff there a year, other than perhaps TV.
Well, as our tour guide pointed out, and this is the Paramount Studios themselves only really make about six movies a year. Mm. because that's the way that Hollywood works.
But they make a lot of their money, don't they, by renting
out, and you know, they rent out their lighting rigs to other productions and that kind of thing. But the Parrot, I would definitely recommend anyone who's into particularly older movies. Although, you know, they have shot more recent stuff. Like one of my best bits was when they were telling us how they shot part of a scene from J.J. Abrams' Star Trek in the car park by painting it blue and making it look like water and that sort of thing. So anyone who's interested in movie making, I would strongly recommend doing the Paramount Studios tour.
Yeah,
it's definitely, and for me, that was the highlight. But there were numerous others.
Yeah, like, we went to watch Fast and Furious.
Oh,
yes.
Again, not, and you know, we do.
I love the Fast and Furious.
Yeah,
films.
You love the Fast. I really like the Fast and Furious films.
We went to watch that and have a tour of the Chinese Man Theatre.
Yeah,
which was fantastic.
And eat tons of buttered popcorn, which is a new one for me. Buttered popcorn.
Obviously, we went to Disneyland.
I'm sure Americans, it wouldn't be new for.
Disney Hollywood Studios. We went to Griffith Park and the Observatory, which was amazing as well.
Yeah, where they shot Sony movies again, like Rebel Without a Cause, for instance.
And we also, another theme for this podcast, we've already mentioned one in another episode, we also went to the Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
Oh, yeah.
Which we actually saw the other day in an episode of Murder, She Wrote.
Yes, we did, didn't we?
Even though they're supposed to be in New Orleans.
Yeah, it was definitely the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. Yeah.
So we did go. And obviously, when you think LA, you think Hollywood. And I think that... We went to Malibu, Muscle Beach as well.
Yeah, that was all right. I'm not into beaches, as we know.
And like, we pretty much stayed in the sort of historical filmy bits of Hollywood. Mm. And I'm sure lots of other people would have had loads of great fun in West Hollywood and all of that. And then we went to Rodeo Drive, Beverly Hills.
See, it was fun for kind of like, because you're in Beverly Hills and that sort of thing, but I'm not into that kind of celebrity culture. And
that was fun for me. But so there's lots of fun things we did. It was just that they were base in this instance.
Yeah, I think it's a good example of where if you end up with a terrible hotel, then it can taint your impression the rest of the trip. But we did work hard to enjoy ourselves. We just spent 2 days of the four at Disneyland.
And part of me thinks, I know we always planned to go to Disneyland, but part of me thinks that we travelled so far away from that hotel to Disneyland.
Yeah, maybe.
Because we were subconsciously having a stressful experience.
I don't think we planned to spend 2 days in Disneyland.
Well, there's two parks, so we probably
Probably. In your mind, we planned to spend 2 days of our honeymoon in a Disney park.
So, yeah, that's our little... little talk with Gene Harlow about Hollywood, particularly, and the Redbury at Hollywood.
I just looked up Gene Harlow on Wikipedia, by the way, and she lived a horrible, tragic life.
I know, yeah, terrible.
Died at 26.
I know, yeah, I was reading that yesterday. And
apparently, I don't think it was anything to do with alcohol consumption, though.
No, she had kidney failure, but not because of alcohol, but she had like flu and different things. She had
quite a
poor life. I think she worked too hard, basically.
Oh, really?
So it's very tragic, but it's a nice drink. So there you go. We're going to just move on quickly to the news. We'll be right back after this. Now we're here in the short second section when we do, where we look at different news stories from about travel or things from news stories from cities that we've been to, which I think are quite
nothing else about caterpillar cakes.
Nothing caterpillar cakes today. One thing I thought was really interesting is there is a story, it's been trending quite a lot online over the last couple of days, about the future of advertising being demonstrated this week in China, in Shanghai. Have you seen the massive thing that happened 2 days
ago? The QR code?
The QR code in the sky.
Oh, I saw it on Twitter. I meant to tell you about it. Yeah. So obviously, you know, you're a Shanghai addict.
This is from a website called SubChina, and they did a story about it saying the future of advertising is here, and it's a giant QR code formed by drones flying over Shanghai.
Oh, my good Lord.
I'm showing David a picture of it. We'll post it online if you haven't seen it. But basically, they got all these QR codes, 1,500 computer-controlled drones, all went into the sky across the Pudong skyline, which is the best skyline in the world. And they created a QR code that was actually scannable. If you pointed your phone at it, it gave you the link to download a mobile game for your phone.
Oh, is that what it linked? Yeah, I didn't know what it actually linked to.
Yeah. So it was done by a Chinese... It was done on Saturday, just gone. And it was... by a Chinese video streaming and sharing site called Blibli. I'm probably like butchering that. And it was, there was a 2 minute light show first, and then it ended with the thing, the QR code being formed that allowed people to download a first anniversary version of a video game called Princess Connect Redrive, which is a role-playing game from Japan. And you can still watch that video now. And if you scan the QR code on your phone, it will still download the thing. But I've always found it quite weird and quite interesting about when we've been to Shanghai. It seemed very... We mentioned before that it seemed like the future is now. But I can remember seeing stuff that I'd never seen before, like when you were going between tube stops, video animations on the walls between tube stops on the
actual I've never seen that anywhere else.
And like big QR codes on buildings. And yeah, I just thought it was really a really fun story and just highlights how future-proof. And the other thing that I think QR codes are starting to pick up now in the West, particularly with COVID and us all having to scan QR codes all the while. But for a while, it seemed like QR codes was a thing that like only Asia cared about and no one else did, because they used QR codes as part of like Suica apps and things to pay. They used it to pay for all kinds of stuff, Alibaba things, and it just felt like it was never going to catch on here. But I think in more recent years, I've been in my day job, I've been saying that QR codes are never going to happen, but I started to use QR codes at work.
Oh, really? Because
like now people's phones do just read QR codes and people know how to use them. So
I do remember them being big around a decade ago. Mm. Like, well, they were on the verge and you thought it was going to be the next big thing, but they never really took off, but maybe they will now.
Yeah, so that was just a little fun thing that I wanted to talk about today. The second story I want to talk about is something a bit more important, and with everything that's going on in the minute right now in India, I just wanted to draw attention to a UNICEF drive, a funding drive that we're supporting. I've donated £20 to it today. But you can go to vaccinaid.org, which is vaccinaid.org. And it's part of UNICEF's Give the World a Shot fundraising crowdfunder. And essentially what they want to do is UNICEF want to deliver 2 billion vaccines around the world by the end of the year, because they say we'll only ever be safe if we're all safe. And obviously there's lots that's going on at the minute in terms of making sure that all of the developed countries are getting their vaccinations, and none more so than Britain doing a fantastic job with their rollout. But one thing that I've been really quite disturbed and sad about in the news of the last couple of days is everything that's going on in India. And where the fact that India is where like so much of the vaccines are made for the world.
Is it really?
So India is producing a lot of the world's supply of vaccines, but so few. They're going internationally to other places. And I just thought that if you haven't already, you can read up about UNICEF. UNICEF's a charity that like I really like, particularly because of both Audrey Hepburn and Roger Moore. Yeah, work with it.
We're ambassadors, weren't they?
Yeah, and going back to this episode, not sponsored by Marks and Spencer, whenever I use my Sparks card, I donate to UNICEF. So, yeah. I've donated in the name of Half as Men Will Travel Today for the Give the World a Shot, and you can give as much or as little as you want, and UNICEF will double your donation.
So, what are they actually going to do with the money?
They're going to deliver 2 billion vaccines to developing countries.
Oh, wow.
So pay for and make sure they get to the right places and they get used to developing countries.
Isn't it kind of rubbish, just to get on a little bit of a soapbox, that? I know we're all in financial dire straits, you know, pretty much any country around the world, but that sentiment of
one of the reasons why it has to happen, having to be vaccinated. Yeah, one of the reasons it has to happen is because the world's powers were terrible and decided to patent the vaccines.
Yeah.
And had they not,
could be reproduced by everybody at cost.
But there you go. And that's the world we're living. But like I say, what's happening in India, and it's a country that I would very much, we'll probably have an episode at one point about places we really want to go to.
Oh, yeah,
India is very much on my list. And I think the stuff that we're seeing about India at the moment is really sad. And if we can do anything to help, there's lots of other places you can donate as well. Red Cross, are doing fundraisers, and there'll probably be other ones wherever you're living locally. But I just think this one is very good because it's aiming at trying to help all developing countries make sure that they get the vaccination. Because if we don't get, if we don't all get it'll some level of protection, it'll keep mutating, and our jabs won't work anymore. So sorry to bring it down a little bit, but I just wanted to talk about that important fundraising. And we're lighting it up in a little bit with a Mr. and Mister competition. So we're going to end our Debbie Downer episode of negativity with a Mr. and Mister, which, if you're just joining us for the first time, it is a little game that we play at the end of the episode where one of us will decide on a topic and the other one of us will have to try and read each other's minds. Yeah, we'll save our marriage by guessing the things that we're thinking about this topic. So today I am the one who has thought of the topic, and I am the one with the three things, and David is going to try and guess. And we don't talk about this off the air, so he doesn't know what I'm thinking about. But David's going to try and guess the three things I don't like about travel.
That you don't like, about travel. Oh, God, this is a Debbie Downer. But let's try to have some fun with it.
About the whole travel experience.
Not having consistent Wi-Fi.
Oh my God, I didn't think of that.
Oh, would that be on there?
That would be on there. I'm going to have to kick one of them off my list. Okay.
Then. Oh, really? What got chucked?
I'm going to chuck the last day because... Because sometimes, actually, on the last day, I am really looking forward to getting home to see the cats, to see my family.
Yeah, I don't...
Or if my family listen to this, the family and then the cats. but, like, one thing I thought was really interesting, the other day when we had our episode about Venice, we never talked about
Oh, my God, you were such a mardy child.
Because it was my first holiday with my first boyfriend, and I was like, I didn't want to go back home.
You were almost like having a temper tantrum.
No, I did, yeah. So that was that was knocked off my list because actually sometimes, like I said, I am actually like after about 10 days normally max, I am quite looking forward to getting home to sleep in my own bed, to like wash some clothes, to see my family and friends and cats.
But you want to wash the clothes before seeing your family.
Yeah, but I can't wear dirty clothes. So yeah, that's been knocked off my list. But yeah, so that Wi-Fi, like for me, like whenever we go on a holiday, particularly a cruise one, like we always say to each other, it'd be like a digital detox, we won't get the Wi-Fi. And then within, like the ship just like left port, and then
they 40 like, minutes later.
Like, who are you on Facebook? Oh, I've just bought the internet package.
Yeah, honestly, I think you have a problem.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that would be my case. But we do cope in a lot of places because our phone carrier gives us international roaming in certain places for free. We're not going to mention them because we're not going to do advertising for free.
Except M&S, send us caterpillar cakes.
Yeah, but so you can get away with that in certain places, but it's normally 3G and not as fast, and so it's not.
First world problems, Anthony. No, first world problems.
That's a big thing for me. Yeah, you're right. I should have thought about that.
That was the only one that immediately sprang to mind. Really? So I might need some clues for the other two.
Okay, one happens.
Is it to do with weather?
No. Okay. One happens before we've set foot like in the car to go where we're going.
Oh, me constantly checking for passports that we've got things about 57 million times.
I didn't even think of that. But that
my OCD about forgetting things.
Oh my God, David is so like, David is like, have we got the tickets? Have we got the passports? Even though
I have to give you.
I always create this big folder with everything in the right order we need it. But every time David's like, have you got tickets? Have you got passports? Yeah. Have you got the money? Like, no, it's not that. For me, it's packing.
Who enjoys packing?
I go through like a stage where I do like what I call a first draft of packing, where I pack everything I really want and then make David weigh the case, and he's like,
is not going to work.
Yeah, so then I have to do a second draft and sometimes a third draft of packing before I take so much, even if I'm going away for the weekend, I take too many clothes.
I had noticed.
I don't enjoy packing.
Okay. Can I have a clue for the third one?
The clue is we are not yet in the destination, but we're getting there.
Not yet in the destination. Is it on a plane?
Yes, I don't like being on a plane.
Yeah, I thought it was just plane travel full stop.
It's not like I like being in an airport. Mm. I like looking around the shops and going for like food or drink in there and getting excited to wait. Unless it's really a long like layover. Yeah. I don't like that. But I really don't like being on a plane.
Mm.
I don't like sitting by anyone who's not you. So if we have to sit in a three, I get really funny about that. I don't like, I'm not scared of flying, but there's always that bit at takeoff and landing where suddenly I think, oh my God, I'm
You always die. Clutch my hand when we're taking off.
And I just find it really boring. Like, I take all these things with me. I take, like, my iPad, my Switch, like, my also my 3DS.
Just imagine how long, with all these electronics, just imagine how long it sometimes takes for them to scan Anthony.
Yeah, I know.
Because you have to get the iPad out, you have to turn it on, you have to prove it to power pack, you have to do all these things. And you have this...
And I never usually use them.
You don't use any of it on the plane. Yeah. You literally, you never use any of it, but you've got it all there. Just, what are you afraid of? Getting bored?
I don't never really want to watch the films. And,
no.
And also, the one thing I hate about plane travel is... I sort of thought about this the other day when we were playing, just a couple of weeks back when we were playing the Pan Am board game, that as customers we've settled for
Really rubbish experience.
A really rubbish experience because, like, we get, like, sometimes I don't know when I've, like, some of my friends and I have talked about travel, we flew Virgin, they gave us our drinks in a real glass,
big deal.
Like, when I normally fly, I drink out of a trough. Like, we're settled for such poor, like, experience. Just so that if you go first, you can say, oh, actually, they gave me a menu card. Oh, I had some leg room. Like, true. Honestly, I know that air travel is expensive for the carriers, but I do think that they've started to claw back, and we now settle for crap. And I know the industry at the minute is going through like a really tough time with people not flying. But even before then, like, I remember Virgin even cutting back further where like even their economy, there was economy delight and like economy classic. And even one of those, you didn't get luggage. And like, if you were traveling to, I don't know, Barcelona, that's fine. You can do your hand luggage.
Yeah.
But if you're traveling to like Florida, you need a suitcase. Yeah. You're going for a week. You need a suitcase.
I'm not a massive fan of plane travel. If we can book a holiday without involving a plane, I am usually a happier bunny.
Yeah.
So I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, train travel for me. Plane travel. We like our train holidays. We like our boat holidays. And I don't mind being on a plane. It's exciting. We can get around the world like that.
The thing that I hate about flying is all the rigmarole of actually getting into the airport, all the security and all that sort of stuff. I get really anxious. Not that I'm smuggling anything, but it's that whole, I don't know what it is. It's all that. It's because it's impossible to relax. And actually, I do sort of relax once I'm sitting on the plane. I know I'm kind of trapped there. And although my claustrophobia can kick in occasionally, I know I'm trapped there. So usually I just read all the way.
Yeah, I remember as well, we've had some really terrible experiences where we've had, when we went to Florida with my parents,
screaming children
the entire way there. And my mum and dad also had them on the way back because they were sitting separate from us. And where were we flying back from? And we had that person who smelled
Florida.
Was it
Florida? I think it was Florida.
Second time Florida. And luckily we got moved because this person hadn't showed.
Obviously, Florida in the summer, very warm climate. Person had clearly been wearing the same clothes all day. Didn't smell good.
Yeah.
But again,
they moved us.
We made an issue. We raised our concern and they found us other seats.
Yeah,
so it just goes to show.
And then the other weird one is, remember when I took those sleeping pills and then got locked
in. Oh my God. Where was that on the way
flying back from Los Angeles?
Was that flying back from Los Angeles? Yeah. We've still got those tablets in the bathroom cabinet.
Oh my God.
If ever I want a quiet evening in, I'll just slip me one of those.
Oh my God, that was the worst. I never sleep on planes, which is probably another reason why I hate going on a plane, because I'm not one of those people who can just fall asleep in a really cramped chair. And we have flown first class before, which I wasn't impressed with, to be honest.
No, it was overpriced.
Yeah. And when So on the flight back from Los Angeles, I really wanted to sleep. So they sold these sleeping tablets in the airport, and I was like, "Whoa, what is they selling in the airport? It must be fine."
They were bright blue,
but like I took them, and I felt like I had locked-in syndrome. Like the stewardesses and David couldn't rouse me.
I was okay.
But I was like awake. Yeah. I could tell that people were talking to me, but I just couldn't talk and say.
I think
I had a reaction to them.
Yeah, I think you must have.
I would never take them again.
No. Without knowing about it.
The only other. Funny story when you mentioned about smuggling that I wanted to tell about.
Oh no.
Was that really funny one with my mum and dad?
Oh my God.
Where we were going to Florida. We were flying with Aer Lingus, so we were going from Birmingham to Dublin, and then you cleared customs in Dublin because they had American customs there, so it just meant
that. That was pretty neat.
Yeah, when you got off the plane in Orlando,
you didn't have
to
deal with a horrendous American airport queue.
But when. Do you know they have all those signs like, "Oh, you're not allowed to bring like produce and livestock and like plants and this"? My mom saw those and she turned around. My mom's a very nervous flyer, and she turned around to me and David and was like, "What am I going to do? I've got them in my bag," and like she kept using like all these
saying
sort
it
of,
quite loudly because your mother has no kind of inside voice. No.
And she wasn't just saying like the thing. She kept just saying like. What if they find it in my bag?
Yeah, it was like,
and it was like, it was very clear if anyone was overhearing, like she might be talking about drugs. She wasn't.
No.
But like she kept going.
She was talking.
And then they, and what it was a tub of Pringles.
Yeah. In
case she got hungry on
potato
the plane.
Potato snacks.
And she was, David and me and my dad were trying to say, they don't care about your Pringles. Don't worry about it. And I used to get going, what if they find it? They won't let me go. I've got to tell it about that it's in my bag. And she kept saying these phrases without saying the word Pringles.
So
anyone overhearing. Yeah, David was like, you can't tell them about this. Just don't stop it. And went into teacher mode. And anyway, I went through customs fine. David went through customs fine. My dad went through customs fine. And my mom, it seemed like she felt like she took an age to get through customs.
I swear, she was emptying a bag and showing them a Pringle.
And I think she must have declared her Pringles.
Yeah.
And that's why she took so long
but
to get
they let her keep her Pringles.
Let her keep her Pringles.
There was salt and vinegar flavour, I remember.
Yeah, I think were they salt and vinegar?
Yeah, there was.
Oh, the other thing about air travel, which is on this holiday as well.
Oh, no.
About how you and my mom get ravenous
I don't know what it is, but whenever I am knowing I'm about to get on an aeroplane, it must be stress, it must be anxiety, I don't know. I eat constantly.
Yeah, but there was a day, we'd been in the morning to celebration in Florida. It was a day we were flying back. We'd been to celebration, had a nice look around there, and then we were at the airport with my mum and my dad in Florida.
You've missed out the fact that for lunch, I had the most enormous Cobb salad.
Yeah, Cobb salad.
And it was huge.
And then we got to the airport, and then we were sitting around, like, talking, and then this girl was eating a pizza, and like she like was sitting next to us, and she couldn't eat all this pizza, and she just turned around to us and was like, "Do you want to?" And then she couldn't even finish the sentence because my mom and David snatched his pizza.
We'll eat your pizza.
And then after they ate this pizza, you went to got ice cream. Your mom did.
Yeah.
You went to got ice cream too.
We got an ice cream pizza.
Yeah. So that's and then obviously you had the meals on the plane. So yeah, that was a day of eating. But I think that's your airport thing.
I think that's the way I deal with flying.
Just eating food.
Eat it.
Yeah.
Eat my way through it.
Well, that was. Mr. and Mr. and I think you knew me even better than I knew myself then because you picked things that I hadn't even thought about.
You know, and there is a reason we've been together over a decade.
Yeah. So anyway, that was Mr. and Mr. and we'll pick up another topic. It'll be David's turn next week.
Ooh.
So once again, thank you for joining us on Have Husband Will Travel and Talk. If you like the podcast, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast from. 5 stars, please. And you can also get in touch with us by sending an email to us at havehusbandwilltravel.com. And someone who did that in the week was Ferrari, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, who put a comment on one of our articles on our website. And this was about the Mermaid Alley restaurant review when we've been twice now in Penzance. And Ferrari said that this review...
You can't read. Freffy.
Freffy.
Freffy O'Hara.
Freffy. This review makes me want to book a trip to from New Jersey to Penzance right now. If only they'd let us in. I'll do so on the day I'm allowed. Cornwall is number one on my bucket list guys. Thank you. And I shared that with the great team at Mermaid Alley, and they commented that they absolutely loved it, and probably one for another day. But if anyone is listening and ever wants to get their Independence, you can't do better for food than going Mermaid Alley.
It's amazing.
And you can find our review on Mermaid Alley by going to the website, which is www.havehusbandandlawtravel.com. And we've got lots of photos of the food and drink that we ate there over on our social medias. If you can, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter by going to Have Hubby, HAVEHUBBY. And if you go on Facebook, just search for Have Husband Will Travel and you'll find us. But otherwise, me and David will see you next week.
Any idea what we're doing next week?
We're doing trains next week.
Oh, trains. So we've done planes a bit.
Yeah, we've done planes.
Trains. It's automobiles the week after.
I do want to do like a road trip.
Yeah, we haven't really done
a road
trip.
I've driven in Florida, that's about it. So that's driven to St. Augustine. So next week is trains. So you'll be able to hear our, we've teased it a little bit before, and you can swat up by reading the article on the website. But we went on a fantastic journey across America on a train, on Amtrak.
And to Penzance.
And to Penzance on a sort of roller coaster ride down the English coast. So, yeah, we'll be talking about that next week with a train-related cocktail that David's going to think up.
Mm.
So we'll see you next week. Have a great week, everyone.
Take care.